today as we come to the table.
It is much more important to the Lord, and even out of the Lord's mouth himself, that we have worship established in our life with him than even service in the church. Let me take it farther. If you gave God two options, and he said, Lord, I can either spend time worshiping you, or I can go and serve at the church in all the different ministries. God would say to you, do not serve in the different ministries. Come and worship me. Why? And that is the principle God teaches in Scripture. Why is that? Because God desires a relationship. Our service is an outcropping of that. It is a result of that. But more important than our service, the Lord says, I want you.
Serve other people? Did you ever stop to consider why you serve others? Is it because you think that it's the right thing to do? Is it because you know the Bible told you to serve others? Is it because you're trying to earn your way into heaven? Or does your service flow from the overflow of your love relationship with God? Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Pastor Mark says today, motive matters. God wants us, not our service. Service without a loving relationship with Jesus is simply dead works that lead to death. All the works that we do in our strength will burn up like wood, hay, and stubble. Jesus wants to lavish his love on us, and for us to lavish our love on him. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 8, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
In my life that I'm waiting on. There are things in the ministry that we are waiting on as a body. There are things that I'm thinking, Lord, I mean, it's not as bad as being in an ark, and I know all that. Can't really make a fair comparison. But at the same time, I'm waiting saying, God, you know, what's your timing? What's going to happen here? Well, you know, we're just waiting. And right as I'm reading this and thinking of God giving Noah this sign, I look out the window and there's three doves sitting right there outside my window on this fence. And it was just a reminder to my heart, even as I'm reading about the three doves of Noah, so to speak, God hears us. He knows where we are. You're not forgotten. He sees you. And you know what? God wants to give you a sign in your heart to let you know that he's still working and that he still cares. And I believe if you'll simply ask him, saying, God, speak to me. Give me a sign that you're still there. God will do so. You know, we had in the first two services amazing stories after the services were done. One guy came up and said, hey, I've come for the first time to Calvary Chapel. We feel God is moving us from South Carolina to Knoxville, but we really need some confirmation to know that we're supposed to be here. And you talked about Noah and, you know, giving a new beginning and coming out and the sun shining on Noah again. He says, well, you know what? I came here to visit today and my wife is still back there. He said, and your message was on new beginnings. It was on a new beginning. And he told me his wife's name is Sunny. And I'm thinking, you know, God is speaking to you. God is sharing with you. God is showing you things that you need to know. I had somebody else come up after first service. And he said, you know, it's the first time I visited Calvary Chapel. And this morning you were talking about, you know, hope after the flood. You know, it was a friend with him that was telling me that said, look, Mark, you were talking about hope after the flood this morning. Guess who this is? And he introduced me to him and told me his name. And he said, you know what? He's had to relocate because of the flood down there on the coast. And he said, you were talking today about new beginnings and God having a new beginning after the flood. And he was saying he knew again that God was speaking to his heart. I had someone come up again after the other service and say, you know what? You said today about the 17th day. It just so happened that I found out on the 17th day that I have a very severe illness. And I've been thinking for the longest time that God is not listening to me, that God is not hearing me. God spoke to my heart and let me know beyond a shadow of a doubt. And the very fact that you mentioned the day that the ark rested, God said to my heart, I'm now giving you rest. She said, I've had rest ever since, that I knew that God was watching over me. She said, today was just a confirmation. And she said, on the 17th of this month, God gave me rest in my heart. And yet I'm wondering, God, what's going to happen? Are you still involved in this? And she said, I come in this morning, you talk about God giving rest on that very day. You see, here's the bottom line. God wants to let you know in your heart, in whatever way is going to best minister to you, I know you're there. And right now, God is speaking to some of you through this message. And maybe God may speak to you, you know, after this message and through whatever he does it. But let him know. Say, God, speak to me. Let me know that, you know, I'm still on the radar screen. God is more than willing to do that. And he's happy to do that. And so, again, this time of waiting on the Lord will often result in frustration and pain, even as it had here in Noah's life. God is only doing it in your life so it might result in godliness and gain. And so notice verse 11, it says, then the dove came in to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth. And Noah knew that the waters had obeyed it on the earth. See, now Noah has the hope he needed. The spark that God spoke to his heart to say, I remember you, Noah. Everything's okay. You're right on target, and I'm here with you. And how anxious Noah must have been this time as the dove returned, looking for any sign of hope. And he comes back this time with the leaf in his mouth, showing that there is land now that is inhabitable. The water is going down, and God is changing things. And as I said, sometimes we simply need a sign of hope that God is with us. And God is more than willing to do that. God does that here now for Noah. It's interesting here. Notice in verse 12, it says, so he waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, which did not return again to him anymore. Now, remember we said what the word waited meant earlier. Anguish, frustration. God, you've got to do something. It's interesting here, as I looked up the word waited in this verse, after God had given Noah hope, after God had sent the dove with the olive branch in his mouth, the word waited here this time has a very different meaning. And note what it means. It means to wait with confident expectation and trust. Isn't that exciting? You see, here's what the Lord is wanting to do. He's wanting to encourage you today in whatever situation you're in, so that if you feel you just can't go on, he wants to change it. He may not remove it from you right now. Note this. You may have to continue waiting a little bit longer. Your weight training session may not be over yet. He may be saying to you, one more rep. Give me one more rep. But here's what he does. He says, I'm here to spot. I'm here to make sure that the weight doesn't fall on you beyond what you can control. And now you can have confident expectation and trust that God is doing a work in your life. And how different it is having to wait when you see no sign of hope as compared to having to wait, but knowing that God is at work. It's exciting. And again, some of you today have felt hopeless in your situation as you wait on the Lord. Rest assured, God is going to move and he will fulfill his promise. Notice verse 13, it says, and it came to pass in the 601st year of the first day of the month that the waters were dried up from the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and indeed the surface of the ground was dry. Can you imagine? Yes, it's dry. It's like, maybe now we can go out. Now, here's what's frustrating. God doesn't say in the very next verse, okay, Noah, go ahead and go out. He says it here in a couple of verses, but he makes Noah wait all the way through verse 15. Actually, through a couple of verses. But notice this, the ground was dry. Now, how tempting would it have been to Noah to say, you know what, there's some dry ground, I'm going for it. But Noah waited until he heard the voice of the Lord. Guys, here's the encouragement for us. You may want out of your situation so badly you can taste it, but wait on the Lord. God's timing is perfect. Our timing is not. And had Noah gone out at this time, it would not have been time. Now, as a matter of fact, Noah probably couldn't have, because remember it says that God shut the door to the ark, and now I believe God wasn't going to open that door until it was time. When God knows it's time for us to move on, God will open a door for us to move on into the next season of life that he has for us. But prior to that, if the door is closed, don't try to kick it down. And also, don't try to jump over the top. You know, I've done that in the past. If I can't kick the door down, I'll just jump off the boat. You know, go out through the window. If you do that, you're going to drown. You need to stay where God has you until God has completed what it is that he's going to do. So you have to admire Noah here. He didn't try to get out even when he saw that the ground was dry. But notice verse 14. It says that in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dried. Then, what a huge then, what an exciting then for Noah. God spoke to Noah saying, go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You know, it's interesting, when God brought them in the ark, he said, come, come into the ark. And now he's done with what he sent them through, and now he's saying, go. What is the application for us? Listen, all of us are being drawn to the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, right now his spirit is saying to you, come. Come into the ark of salvation, if you will. God has a place for you. But as believers, once we come in and let God work in our life, there's going to come a point where God's going to say what? Go. It's time to serve. It's time to step out and share your faith. It's time to get moving. And now we see him saying that very thing to Noah, saying, go out of the ark and take your family with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and cattle and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So Noah went out, I'll bet, probably with a skip in his step, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, every bird, and whatever creeps on the earth according to their families went out of the ark. Now notice this, Noah and his family now leave the ark after 371 long days. This is over a year. Now we think about our trials, and maybe some of them have even gone longer than a year, but think about being in a boat, floating on the water with all these animals for 371 days. And then God says, no, but if you'll just wait, I have a fresh start and a new beginning for you. And maybe you feel like your world has been destroyed. Everything around you has been wiped out. And there's no hope. No, I want you to know today that even if you think everything has been destroyed, your entire world, so to speak, and very literally for Noah, God has a new beginning for you. God has a fresh start for you, and he has a new work that he's going to do in your life. But you've got to trust him, and you've got to wait on him. Notice what happens in verse 20. And I love Noah's heart. Look at the first thing Noah does when he gets off of the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord. I love it. He didn't do anything else. He gets off the ark, he builds an altar, and he makes a sacrifice to the Lord. And notice this, he says he took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. It's interesting here, the burnt offering is the offering of giving yourself completely to God. You see, the other offerings, you would cut them up and put certain portions on there. With the whole burnt offering, you laid the entire animal on the altar. And the entire animal was consumed up before the Lord. See, here was the picture, guys. The picture of that was, God, I'm giving you everything. I'm not leaving anything behind. All of me is yours. What a beautiful heart that we see in Noah. He didn't come out bitter. He didn't come out angry. He came out and said, God, your hand's been in this the whole time, and I thank you, and I give you now myself completely. I offer myself to you. Now, what's exciting about that is a number of things, but one is, notice that Noah had his priorities straight. He comes off the ark, and what's the first thing he does? He blesses the Lord. He worships the Lord. He puts worship of the Lord first in his life. What did Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added. And now we see Noah coming out with his priorities, but again, not only priorities, giving a complete sacrifice to the Lord, showing the heart of Noah before God. Again, you see, it wasn't the fact that, you know, it's interesting, it goes on here in verse 21, it says, and the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. It wasn't the fact of the smell of the grill, so to speak. You know, God's not up in heaven going, nice barbecue. No, it was the smell of Noah's heart. You see, Noah had given a heart to the Lord that was now completely given over. Lord, I'm holding nothing back, nothing. It's all yours, complete, whole burnt offering. And I put that as the priority of my life, at the very first of my life. And notice the Bible says that it is a sweet and soothing aroma to the Lord. Now, it's interesting here that Jesus put worship even above service when it comes to the follower of Christ. In Luke chapter 4, verse 8, when he was rebuking Satan, Satan was coming to him and tempting him to worship him. And he replies to Satan, he says, you shall worship, notice this, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Notice the order here. First came worship, and then came service. What is my point in this? It is much more important to the Lord, and even out of the Lord's mouth himself, that we have worship established in our life with him than even service in the church. Let me take it farther. If you gave God two options, and he said, Lord, I can either spend time worshiping you, or I can go and serve the church in all the different ministries. God would say to you, do not serve in the different ministries. Come and worship me. Why? And that is the principle God teaches in Scripture. Why is that? Because God desires a relationship. Our service is an outcropping of that. It is a result of that. But more important than our service, the Lord says, I want you. Your service is a result of it, but it's not your service I'm after. You know, this is great. Rest in this. Be encouraged in this. God is not looking for kids ministry workers. Isn't that exciting? Every church you go into, they are. And yet God says, no, I'm looking for you. I want your heart. And so again, we have to have the fellowship in place with the Lord more important than we have anything else. And notice next it says he took of every clean animal for the offering. Guys, understand, this was no small sacrifice. He took of every clean animal and offered it up to the Lord, this whole burnt offering, but giving these things to the Lord. And again, it shows his heart and it shows his love for the Lord. This was, why was this no small sacrifice? There weren't a lot of animals to choose from. I mean, as he began to offer these animals up to the Lord, you have that many less in the world. Statistically, that much less chance of them surviving. And remember, we saw earlier that he had taken seven of every clean animal. Now we see why. Because the offerings that were going to be done afterwards. And yet understand this, when you truly love the Lord and you have a heart for the things of God, there's nothing too precious to give to him. You see, Noah didn't care. He said, this is very precious. This is a precious commodity, but I'm going to lavish it on the Lord because of my love for him. It reminds me of Mary. You remember Martha and Mary. You know, Martha's the one that was busy, 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 always serving the Lord. And Mary was the one that just sat at his feet and said, I just want to worship you. I want to hear from you. I want to spend time with you. And there's a proper balance of service and worship, but worship comes first. And remember, Martha got mad. Lord, make her help. She's not helping. And the Lord said, Martha, you're busy with many things. He said, understand this. Mary has chosen the better, and I'm not going to take that from her. The most important thing is worship. I think of another time, again, showing the heart of Noah here and the heart of Mary, another time where Mary went to the Lord and she took this, the Bible says, very expensive oil of spikenard, extremely expensive. They would even use these containers of oil like this, of these different precious fragrances as their retirement, as their dowry if something went wrong in their wedding. It was what they were to live on afterwards. She brings it. She pours it out on the feet of the Lord. Nothing is too precious to give to Jesus. She gives it all to him. And as she pours it out, the most exciting thing to me is not just her attitude, you know, of giving everything to the Lord. That's exciting. But what's even sweeter to me is that the Bible says she began to wipe his feet with her hair. And in so doing, she began to, in essence, take on the fragrance of the Lord. And you know, that is exactly what happens to us as we spend time worshiping at the feet of Jesus. As we begin to, well, if you will, wipe the Lord's feet with our hair. We begin to spend time at his feet. We begin to take on that fragrance. And you can tell people that have been in the fragrance of the Lord, can't you? You know what they're like. You get around some people and you go, that's not the Lord I smell. You know, that's not, we're not, this is not the Lord. You know it right off the bat. But then you get with some people and you go, I smell a fragrance here. And this is supernatural. And it's beyond human ability. You've been with Jesus, hadn't you? You see, that's the result of spending time with Jesus. That is the heart of Noah. And as Noah pours out this heart, notice again it says in verse 21, and the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. You know, the Bible says our offerings to the Lord today are in worship and praise. It can be in other ways, but most typically each week in worship and praise is one of the most evident. Here's a question to ask yourself. As I offered my worship and praise to the Lord this morning, as I gave my offering, how did it smell to the Lord? Was it stale and stinky because my heart's wrong? Was it hard? Was it bitter? Was it unappreciative? What fragrance did it put before the throne of God? Or when God saw your heart worshiping, was it a smooth aroma to the Lord? No, God doesn't care whether or not it's on key. He cares whether or not our heart's in tune. And see, Noah's heart was sweetly in tune. The Lord smelled the soothing aroma, and the Lord said in his heart, isn't it sweet to know that we can touch the heart of God from our heart? And now it says, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. And again, the Bible teaches that. Nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. God says, because of your heart, I'm going to be a blessing. And I'm going to bless you. And because of our heart, we will always receive blessings from the Lord if we simply have the right heart before him. Notice the last verse. He says, God now finishes off and says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Now, lastly, notice God's promise here that the different seasons of the earth would never cease until the final day that the Lord comes back and makes everything new. So God gives his promise. Noah, you've done this. And I'm sure Noah needed to hear this. You know, God, you destroyed the earth. Is this going to happen again? And how long do we go down the line before you say, Noah, remember that boat you built? Yeah, build another one. I mean, that would not be a pleasant thought. Look how much work it took to do the first one. Yet he says, Noah, you know what? Don't worry about it. I'm going to maintain, I'm going to protect the earth. And until I am done with this earth and establish my new kingdom, the new heaven and the new earth, it's going to be normal. The seasons will be in place. But what's the application for us today as we finish? Guys, note this. even as the earth will have continual seasons until the very end when Jesus makes all things new, so too the believer has different seasons of life, even as Noah had just learned. You see, Noah had just gone through a hard season of life, but God had a reason for that season. And each of us today have different seasons, and we're all in different seasons right now, but God has a reason for those seasons. And I don't mean to be rhyming so much, but God has a reason for that. Some of us are in spring where everything seems to be blooming and alive. Some of us are in summer and are experiencing a time of rest and refreshment right now. Some of us are in the fall and enjoying the crisp air and the beautiful colors of life. And some of us are in the winter where there seems to be nothing but coldness and death. Understand, you've not been forgotten. God is very aware of your situation, and he's allowed you to simply go into another season because he wants to grow you. He wants to mature you. He wants to continue his process of weight training, if you will. And I can assure you, whatever season you're in, God is there watching over you. Spring is to bring new life. Summer is to give rest and a break. Fall is to prepare us for winter, and winter is a time when, although everything seems dead, note this, the roots are growing deeper and the trees are growing stronger. And you being planted and rooted as trees in the Lord, if you're in that cold, hard winter time, you're getting stronger. You don't know it right now. You'd say, I'm getting weaker. I'm about to walk away. I can't handle this. No, you're getting stronger. And if you stay with the Lord, you're not only going to get stronger, you're going to come out on the other side a much different person than you went in. The mistake we make as believers is oftentimes we jump overboard. We jump off the boat and drown. God says, stay on the boat and let me do the work that I'm going to do. So as we end today, here's the question we need to ask ourselves. Do you need a fresh start today? Do you need a new beginning? Where are you? The Bible says that God is a God who does just that. He's a God of new beginnings and fresh starts, no matter how many times we've messed up. And I want to encourage you, no matter what season of life you're in today, rest assured that God is with you. He didn't leave Noah. He won't leave you. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Even as Noah wondered how long it would be before the sun would shine again in his life, God never removed his watchful eye or his tender care. He was there the whole time. And God had a loving purpose for it all. Let's finish with a verse. I know you know the verse very well, but let this sink down into your heart. Hear the word of the Lord. It is for you. It is to you. And especially those who are feeling hopeless. Especially those of you that are feeling like, when do I get off this boat? When do I reach the dry land? When is my sunny day going to shine? When will I know that God has not forgotten me? Note the promise of God to your heart today. Philippians 1:6 says this, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. You can be certain if God has begun a work in your life, he's not going to set you down and just stop. He will continue the work he's begun. Be patient and let him work. And you will see amazing things happen in your life as he takes you from season to season. As the Bible says, from glory to glory. It may not feel glorious right now, but God has something glorious in mind.
Isn't it interesting that it only took a couple of chapters in after God created everything for mankind to find a way to rebel? This is human nature, isn't it? Throughout history, God has something great in mind, but people find loopholes and do things their own way, rebelling against God. Something that's striking in the book of Genesis is that God remains faithful even when mankind does not. God keeps his promises when it would be impossible for anyone else to do so. What an amazing God we serve. Pastor Mark has been working his way through the opening book of the Bible, and there's so much more to gain from it. Come to the Table is a radio ministry of Calvary Knoxville. If you're enjoying these teachings, head over to thewaymedia.net to hear more. Just click on the Come to the Table tab. While you're there, if you have any questions or comments about today's message, we'd love to hear them. Just look for the questions and comments link. If you're ever in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love for you to drop in and see us. You can find service times and locations on thewaymedia.net. Scroll to the bottom of the page and find a link to Calvary Knoxville,
We have several service times that could accommodate whatever type of schedule you have. We're so thankful that you've joined us today, listening to Pastor Mark's thoughts and insights on the book of Genesis. There's more to learn and appreciate from the beginning of the Bible on. So come next time, grab your Bible, maybe a cup of coffee, and be ready to understand the great things God has for you to learn the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.